salvation, lost or tossed, is the teaching that Holy Spirit wants to address today. There is so much controversy over this, whether one can lose one's salvation, whether we are eternally secure, whether we can walk away, whether it's impossible to walk away. Well, Holy Ghost wants to address this because without the fear of the Lord, and the church is going to desperately need the fear of the Lord in the coming days, without it, they will fall into the snare of death. Now, one scripture that many of us perhaps avoid or perhaps have interpreted in a way that is palatable to us, to our doctrinal basis, to our belief system, to our own ability to cope, is in Hebrews 6. In Hebrews 6, 4 to 6 in particular, and myself, for I would say probably quite a time, also did not want to believe what this scripture said, because it is terrifying. But let's read it together, for it can set us free. Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, it gives us the reason. Often this scripture is analyzed in such a way that it says the person's heart has become so hardened that they won't return to repentance. And we can assume that's a possibility, but that is not the reason that God gives for their lack of return. He says, why? Because they crucify again for themselves the Son of God. So they crucify on themselves Jesus Christ on the cross again. They put him on the cross again, and he's mocked, and he's made to be nothing. They put him to open shame in their own lives. We are not talking about making mistakes and sometimes sinning, which no, we should not do, but sometimes we do. We are talking about turning away from the God who made us, the one who saved us, the one that lives in us. It says you're a partaker of the Holy Spirit. You must have been a believer. We can't try to prettify this scripture and make it acceptable to us that believers cannot fall, believers cannot walk away. Yes, he says no one will snatch us out of his hand. Yes, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's his part of the promise and the covenant. We have a covenant too. Who will we believe? Who will we follow? Who will we yield to? Whose commandments will we obey? Because if we obey them, he says we love him. So as we read this scripture, it's apparent that we can toss salvation as if it is just so much debris. And when we do that, we have disgraced Jesus Christ and what he paid for on the cross for us, and we have blasphemed the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who is the Spirit of Christ. We cannot play games with this. This is so serious and so vital for the body to know that to turn away from God is, and we're not talking about, again, I want to reiterate this because people will become frightened to the degree that they'll be terrified of making any mistake. We're not talking about that. Holy Ghost wants to make it clear. It's a intentional turning away because someone decides that Christianity just doesn't cut it anymore. It's not good enough. It's too hard for them to follow Christ, and they want to go their own way. They want to return to the dog's vomit. They want to stay there. That's what he is saying. This idea of soft love, so to speak,
over-tenderized love that modern-day Christians seem to have in regards to God is a complete misunderstanding of His love and who love is. His love will do whatever is required. Whatever is required, including Him dying on the cross. That was required for us to have union with Him. And what people do when they turn away and decide that Christianity just, it wasn't it. Oh, I thought it was the answer, but it's really not. Maybe there's something better. Maybe, it's too hard for me to do this. I have to behave myself. I have to try to be good. They haven't even understood that it's never can happen from them. It is through the Spirit of the living God that we will walk in righteousness by the blood of Jesus. And in the New Testament, this is clear in a number of the epistles. In Ephesians 5, he says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." We cannot walk away from Him and partake in the world again and decide that He isn't good enough and then expect Him to rescue us. It doesn't work like that. We have a commitment to Christ. Are we going to persevere or not? In Romans 2:6, he says that He will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. He makes it very clear. It's not, oh, if you're in the Believers Club, you're safe. So whatever you do is not only acceptable, but you can not just run amok and go your own way, but you can also just deny Him, renounce Him. Just, I've had a bad day. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. He actually keeps you to your word. This is why what we speak is so important. We're not to be cheap with our words. We're to honor Him with those words. And when we struggle with sin or struggle with an addiction or struggle with some kind of difficulty or trial, this is not saying make no mistakes. Do this perfectly or you're in trouble. This is saying, do you go to Him? Do you seek His face? Do you diligently seek Him so that He can reward you? Or do you go your own way to the point where your heart becomes so hardened and so calloused, your conscience so seared, that you don't even know what you've done is wrong? You don't even know at that point that the door has been closed. There is a time when the door is closed with God. We think because, well, I'm in the time of grace, it doesn't matter. It matters very much, and that time of grace is closing quickly. And there are people, I've seen them myself, that have been Christians, perhaps lukewarm Christians, perhaps never fully giving their hearts, confessing Christ, living for a time for Him, and then when things, as He says in the four soils, when things of the world choked them, like the weeds and the thorns, when things became difficult, like the rocky soil, they walked away. Confessing Christ once and living not for Him for the rest of your life is not a Christian. It's as simple as that. And if someone has confessed Him and has lived for Him and then renounces Him, they are no longer His. We are pretending when we say, it's okay, come back, because the prodigal son could come back. Because the Father will always be there for you. If you renounce Him, what does He say in Hebrews? We don't like this. We don't want to hear it. But it's the truth, and the truth sets us free. He says, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Let's go on to 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. What happens is people actually think, believers actually think, that it's impossible to be separated from him. Because they'll use this scripture, Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we reject Jesus, we are not in that love and we have become separated. And from what Hebrews tells us, there is not a chance then. And again, and again, and again, I will say this. Holy Ghost is not talking about making a mistake, falling in a ditch, going the wrong way for a while because you thought it was better, but you really knew somewhere deep inside it wasn't right, but you went that way anyway. You were being stubborn or selfish. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about fully turning your heart away from God. There is no chance to repent from that. That's how serious this is. So what we are being told is don't do it. No matter how hard a trial is, no matter how discouraged you are, no matter how hurt, no matter how angry you are at God because something did not occur the way you expected it, no matter how devastated you are, don't turn your back on him. In John 3:36, he says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. People think believing is not just a mental agreement, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, but they think it's enough to act like a Christian, whether it's attending church, whether it's saying the right things, whether it's reading your Bible daily. They think that makes them a Christian. It is not the external that makes you his. It is your heart given over to him, a surrendered life that makes you his. That's believing in him. Having in the Greek, that word means total persuasion, total confidence, total faith, total yieldedness to him who is faithful. We can't pretend that people can't fall away because he said there will be a great falling away before the Antichrist comes and before the return of Jesus Christ in the second coming. There will be. And I have been seeing recently many people falling away that I am shocked because they appeared to be genuine believers. And it is getting hotter and hotter, so to speak, more and more intense. The trials are harder. They're coming fast and furious. And if we do not stay close to him, as close as possible, every moment of the day, and I'm not talking about a strain to be close to him. We should be that close. He wants us to be that close so that when we are undergoing these trials that are pressing upon us, like what is done when a diamond needs to be pressed to become a gem, when the carbon is pressed with such high pressure that it finally results in this incredible, multifaceted, brilliant gem. That's what is happening to us. So it's not the enemy. We can't blame the enemy and say, the enemy made me, you know, turn away from God because he caused so many problems. No, it's the dictates of our own heart that turn us towards God or away from God. We have to choose that. We might feel so bad, so hurt, so devastated that we think God's not for us and therefore we walk away. But we can't blame him for that, nor anyone else. not even the enemy. Yes, the enemy sets up traps. Yes, he's pressuring believers. Yes, he comes against all of humanity. But he's not the cause of our falling away. Now, in many circles, this would be called legalism. You're telling us we have to do this and we have to do that. God requires what we have to do. I've heard some people say, I can't meet your standards. Your standards are too high. And my standards or any other believer's standards are very low in comparison to God's standards. But to expect someone to honor him with their actions, with their choices, with their words, is not too high of a standard. And some Christians are finding that not just difficult, but they're becoming offended by it, as if it's asking too much of them. There is a dividing line, church, and it is so sharp now. It's frightening. It is really a sign of the times, what's occurring, this dividing line. It's terrifying when you see people that had formerly at least appeared to love him, and perhaps even truly did love him, turn away because perhaps their pain, perhaps they've decided to focus so much on past abuse, past failures, perhaps their pride that is dictating their heart. It can be a number of reasons. But the dividing line is coming and is happening now between the true bride, those that will remain steadfast. Perseverance is vital as a Christian to keep walking. It's a walk of faith. It's a good fight of faith. It's a race to finish. It isn't finished when you first confess Christ. That's just the beginning. Then you're finally in the race. And this dividing line is for the body herself, for the bride, so she can choose, and so that those that are not truly his will no longer be mixing with those that are. And we are not making the judgment. We are not causing it. So there is no guilt here. We just have to stay steadfast and remain close to him. And those that desire him will want to remain close, and those that don't will fall away. In Hebrews, it's very clear, it's about apostasy, falling away from the faith in Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy 4, it also is prophesied that such things will happen. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. It goes on to talking about certain practices that forbidding to marry, abstaining from foods. These would become legalistic practices that would tell people that you need to do this in order to be God's. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a conscience seared from the love of God. If you go your own way long enough, your own way looks like the right way, because the way of a man seems right to him, but leads to death. That's how it works. That's why we need the fear of the Lord, because he keeps us on that narrow path. We can't be kept on it by our own willpower or our flesh. We won't do it. But if we yield to the Holy Spirit and are led by him, for as many as are led by him are the sons of God, and we walk in that Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, including falling away. Falling away. Apostasy, the core of it is the lust of the flesh. Whether it's pride, whether you've been hurt, whether you've been disappointed, whether you're angry, whether people have betrayed you, whether you've had horrific disease. It doesn't matter what it is. It always relates back to the flesh. I didn't get what I wanted, therefore God isn't good enough. That's the bottom line of apostasy. There must be something better than this. This can't be all there is. And when you're relating to him that way, it does feel vapid. It does feel empty. It feels like there's nothing, because you don't have a living faith, or you've walked away from your living faith. And what happens when you do, is you become a tool, a fine tool of Satan. And he will use you to try to destroy the bride. Because you will have known Scripture, you will have spent years studying the Bible, You will know it inside and out, like Satan does. And it will become used as a tool against the body to browbeat her. There are many that are not the bride, that are supposedly part of the body, that continually beat down the bride of Christ, using scripture to do so. And let's go to that part of Hebrews where it talks about the impossibility, and even that word, impossible. In the Greek, it's adunatos. And that word is incapable, impossible, either in inability or that which is impossible, unable or powerless, no strength, could not do without strength. That is that word, adunatos. And the reason it is impossible is because you can't become a new creation again and again and again. It is a one-time event. If Christ and what he has done on the cross is rejected after someone has come to him, it is impossible for a second repentance, a second new creation, new beginning, new birth. We were born. We don't get born again and again and again and again. You are born again in that one moment of time where you give yourself to him. Believe on Christ. If someone renounces him, turns away, repentance isn't just a speaking words, and it's not just something that happens in your mind. It's your whole being. Repentance includes your emotions, your will. You've repented initially and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then somewhere down the road, a person decides it is too hard. It is not what they wanted. It's not the walk they thought it was going to be. It's not the blessings they thought they were going to get, because they think that Christianity is for them. And it is not. It is for him. And although this is a frightening prospect that can happen to a Christian, is it not better for us to know that turning away is not an option? Because once we do, the door is closed. He is not talking about sin, or if you've been addicted, or if you're struggling in your life, or if you go your own way for a time because you don't know what else to do, or because you just are unwilling or stubborn. We're talking about renouncing him, turning your back on God Almighty and saying, I've had enough and I no longer want him. From there is no second repentance. And that is what Holy Ghost wants the body to know. Don't do it. Come to me with your pain. Come to me with your struggle. Come to me when you need comfort. Come to me when you need guidance. Come to me when you need wisdom. Come to me when you are at the end of yourself and can go no further. Come to me, Jesus said, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We cannot do this without him. We are Christians for Christ's sake, not our own. And it is only through Christ that we have the love of God from which we cannot be separated. So let us stay in that hand from which no one can snatch us, safe and secure. Even in the most tumultuous times, let us remain steadfast and true to God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen.